got a shocking bound. It bounces good for Clark. Here he comes. Handball over the top. The running Pavlich to do an open goal.
Pavlich from just inside 50. Starts it right, curls it home. And that's gone right through the middle. It's game on.
Got it off that time to the ball. Great handball to Pavlich. Skipped around one. Pavlich from 30 metres goal. Excellent stuff, Matthew Pavlich.
The great Pav, not far away. To the callers that have been on the line for a long time, we will get to you. We've taken most of your numbers. We'll come back to you shortly. But we did have an appointment booked with Matthew Pavlich, the captain and superstar from the Fremantle Dockers. Just three games short of 300, which is an enormous effort, Beaver, when you consider that no Eagle has ever crossed the line or saluted for 300 games. Matthew Pavlich is not far away from breaking an incredible record.
Yeah, we spoke to Dean Cox about it a few weeks ago when he broke the West Coast Eagles record, and he's now up to about 277. And when you consider the next player closest to Pav at Freo is Shane Parker, almost three seasons behind him. He finished on 238. It is just an outstanding record. We'll certainly ask him about it when he comes online in just one tick.
Well, no, in right now. Welcome to you, Pav.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you, guys. How are you?
Yeah, pretty well. It's been an enormous journey for you, but let's talk about that in 3 weeks' time, because no doubt, well, hopefully you'll favour us with another interview on the eve of your 300th, and then we'll go through all the great moments, the warts that have been on the career, and the great moments that have been on the career, because it has been a long journey. But right now, I reckon you desperately need this game to re-kickstart your season. It's been a bit stop-start, brilliant against Collingwood round one. You got chased down by the Kangaroos on the weekend, and in between you've had some real ups and downs.
Yeah, you're spot on, Jared, with that analysis of the season. Round one was a great way to start, and then you know, backed it up with a really convincing win against the Gold Coast, who obviously vastly improved, but since then we've been really inconsistent, poor against Hawthorn, very, very inconsistent against the Swans up at the SCG, and then on the weekend we certainly thought our attitude and intensity was there, which was off in the two games I just mentioned, but just our ball use. So look, we're not perfect by any stretch right now, and that's why we've been reviewing the game hard, but certainly reviewing our program hard and making sure that we're not missing anything at all.
I'm pleased to hear you talk about the intensity, because I didn't see much of the game. I've got to put my hand up. I only saw a few highlights, but it's been a real concern of mine. I've been a great fan of the Dockers and what you've done and the way you've built that club from the ground up over 15 or so years. But from the very first practice match at Joondalup, it looked as if something was not quite there. Then all of a sudden you surprised everyone. You came out and belted Collingwood, backed it up as you said. But two times in 4 weeks, Ross has questioned your work rate, which is very un-Docker-like.
Yeah, that's right. And we know at any stage in this competition, if you don't bring that attitude and intensity that is required, and that has become really our benchmark for the best part of 2 or 3 years now, then we know that it's going to be really hard to compete. We need to be a team that is blue-collar and works hard and gets the job done that way, and that's certainly been our mantra for quite some time, and it has been inconsistent. What has been a strength for some time but has been inconsistent. But I think what it highlights is that we're all human. We do make mistakes, and we do need reality checks every now and then, and we've certainly had those over the last couple of weeks.
I reckon when you get on a roll like the Power are, though, you don't have to worry about that element of it. You just roll on. But when you've had success without the ultimate success, so it's you understand the grind, and to back it up, it's almost even more difficult than when you're just starting out on the road to success.
Yeah, there's an element of that, and that's what I mean by been sort of checking in with our desire and our hunger, and it's absolutely there. The guys are, the attitude is spot on. We just need to bring it to life a bit more on game day and a bit more consistently, which, as I said, has been our strength for quite some time. If we're able to do that, we know we'll be very competitive. And on the weekend, we thought that that was certainly there against the Kangaroos. That wasn't what was displayed against the Swans and the Hawks. It was certainly our ball use and some of our decision-making going into our forward line, which cost us against the Kangaroos.
I've been a big fan of Aaron Sandilands when it was unfashionable to be a fan of Aaron Sandilands. But I think if you're looking at his career, the one place he hasn't really nailed it is taking marks in the goal square. But that aside, a lot of people make a lot of to-do about centre clearances and hit outs to advantage and clearances, etc. But Aaron Sandland's almost isn't given the credit for the fact that when you play opposition sides, they almost always put an extra man up at stoppages because of his potential dominance, which opens up Michael Johnson or whoever it is out the back.
Yeah, that's right. Teams certainly put a lot of work into Aaron and our clearance work and trying to nullify his dominance, whether it's around the stoppage or around the ground. He's certainly a figure we try to use around the ground. And you're right, it does allow other teammates to be freed up, whether it's in defence or on the fly in the midfield. So you're right, there's a lot of comment made. But at the end of the day, I think we understand what a great influence and great player he is for us, and we'll keep backing him in.
Matthew, Derby, as you guys call it, number 39 against the Eagles this weekend. Do you still counsel the younger players about not getting caught up and swept up in all the hype surrounding the week and the build-up?
Look, most of our guys that are going to be playing have sort of been a part of it for quite some time, but certainly on the game itself, it can be pretty heated. Even the umpires themselves, there can be a fair bit of emotion in the game, and it's just a matter of getting your hands on the footy, doing all the hard things and basic things early and making sure that the ball's in our forward half to give us ourselves an opportunity to score. And we understand the West Coast, after some indifferent form as well, will want to be able to rectify their season and get it back on track. And we're looking forward to really a red-hot game and one that will be certainly competitive in.
Any chance Cole Sylvia may come through? You've counselled him. The coach has put some heat on him publicly. And right now, he's just withering on the vine over there in WA. He needs to somehow find a spot in the side.
Yeah, that's right. He's had an indifferent start to his career at Fremantle. He certainly started to dig in before he was suspended a couple of weeks ago. But fortunately, we've had a couple of undisciplined acts, including that one from Cole. But he's got an opportunity to train really hard this week and vie for a spot, whether it's with us or back with Peel, who'll be representing our footy club at some stage this week, which is great for him and the club.
That longevity we were talking about in the introduction, Matthew, just three games shy of the 300th. The fact that you're about 60 games ahead of Shane Parker on Frio's all-time games played list. How is the body, and does it take a bigger toll than probably all of us over on the Eastern Seaboard appreciate?
Look, I think it's been well documented, and there's probably been research on the hours spent in the plane and the significant travel factor that is living here in WA, but I've made that choice and happy to live with that, so be it. But it does take its toll. It takes, I do extra yoga sessions, I do extra recovery. It's one of those things that just becomes a part of your week, and particularly as I've got older as well, I need to manage my body and be a lot smarter with the things I do and the choices I make outside of the training program, trying to do the extra things that get me to the line each week.
Beaver, of course, is the voice of summer cricket on our network. And I did notice, in fact, Beaver found this because he wanted me to tell you about his great cricket commentary. That
you are an idiot.
On the website, your dream job would be to coach the Australian cricket team. You can't be serious. How boring would that be?
Watching games of cricket with the Australian Test cricket team would be pretty good. Come on, Jared.
What would you do differently? What would you take from Fremantle and your experience there to the Australian cricket team?
Well, Buff looks like he's doing a pretty good job.
He does, yes.
Look, I probably don't know what I'd do. I mean, the only spots up for grabs, what do you reckon would be up for grabs at the moment? Number three probably hasn't been nailed by anyone in particular yet. So Alex Doolan's probably the incumbent, but Sean Marsh and a few others. And then I guess the all-rounder position, Shane Watson, with his injuries and a few other things, whether it's James Faulkner or whether or not Sean Marsh, the Western Australian we know very well over here, whether or not he can find a spot in that team. The bowling lineup looks pretty solid, and so does our keeper in Haddon. So I wouldn't tinker too much. Bush doing a pretty good job.
I just wonder whether, given that you're dealing with full backs, you'd be able to prevent bowlers running over the line at some stage. That has to be one of the cardinal sins in cricket, and it's amazing how it continues to happen.
I'm more impressed, G, from that appraisal. Mickey Arthur and Tom Moody, they're in
big trouble
for next summer. There's no test in Perth next summer, unfortunately, but there's going to be quite a few one-dayers. So, Matthew, if you do want to be part of the commentary team, one of our games over there, we'll slip you in for a couple of slots.
Well, you've got yourself a job at least, Pav. Good luck on the weekend. Coming over to see, it's going to be a ripper, as they all are. And let's hope it's as competitive as it can be.
Appreciate the time, guys. Good on you. Thanks.